Dr. Bond, you're currently involved in quite a bit of research at Morehouse School of Medicine. How does your current research on host-HIV-1 interactions and the role, if any, this plays in the progression to AIDS relate to cancer-stricken AIDS patients?
So as I was talking about earlier, what the virus does is once it infects you, it begins to establish a specific environment within the host that would favor it growing and infecting and spreading. And so when you think about what that environment includes, and you look at when they talk about HIV pathogenesis, they always talk about chronic immune activation that can't be dampened down by your host immune system, a pro-inflammatory environment where cells are growing and tissues are being damaged and things. That's usually where you would get this. The virus is generating this in your body, establishing this, that basically eventually leads to immune dysfunction, which means your immune system doesn't work right. It drives your immune system, so you become immune senescent eventually. What that means is that it's pushing your immune system so far and so fast that when you look at people that are moving towards AIDS, their immune system looks more like somebody that might be in their 70s or 80s than somebody that might be in their 20s. And so it's causing your immune system to become old. So immune dysfunction, chronic immune activation, and then it's depleting immune, it's targeting your immune cells to kill them. Why is it doing that? Because that it's protecting the cells that are infecting. It's infected from being targeted by your immune system. And this is called bystander effect. The infected cell, you may have one infected cell and hundreds of uninfected cells. The infected cell releases factors that kill the uninfected cells or tell them to come close so I can infect you.
Wow.
Right. So if you look at that environment and then you look at cancer, cancer effectively does the same thing. Cancer establishes a tumor, and that tumor begins to release factors that modulate your immune system, that tell the immune system, don't attack this tumor. This tumor is not a foreign body. It's you, it's yourself. Protect it, and then also target your immune system to make it dysfunctional so it won't attack it. So if you listen to those two, they sound very similar. So if you're already infected with HIV, you're effectively establishing an environment that's very similar to what would be established during tumorigenesis to establish a tumor. And so my interest is exactly what is the virus doing? What are the triggers that allow it to establish this environment? Because if you can identify those triggers and stop them, that's another site that you can target drugs to dampen down the infection and effectively either keep the virus from being released from the cells, or if they're being released from the cells, keep them from infecting other cells. And so that's what my research is targeting. And we've been doing this for about a little over a decade. And we have some interesting results that suggest that scenario is exactly what's happening. And so we think we're beginning to identify what that target is, or that trigger, or at least one of those triggers. And we have a molecule we think that can be used to shut that trigger down, or to take that finger off the trigger so it can't be pulled.
Right.
And so if that's true, that means you've got another, that long list of drugs I gave you, you have another drug in the repertoire. So you're not getting rid of the virus, but it's a therapy. It's like a therapeutic vaccine where you're keeping the virus. You're infected, but you never go to AIDS. Right. You effectively, and you don't get, hopefully, we hope that you won't get the immune dysfunction, the chronic immune activation. So that should also, technically, that should also reduce the risk for cancer as well.
Is this your patent-related work?
And that's our patent-related work, right?
Fascinating.
So that's where we're headed. So the link here is as you can see, the link is that HIV and cancer effectively do the same thing. The interesting thing about this is what people don't, and you don't hear this much in the literature, but so that system I'm telling you about, it's actually a normal host system. So when women become pregnant, the placenta, so if you think about the fetus effectively is a tumor.
Right.
And the mother, and it's not cell, so technically the mother's immune system would attack that fetus and abort it. And in fact, that spontaneous abortion and preeclampsia, that's what those are. But what happens is the placenta establishes an environment where it can dampen the mother's immune system down. It can actually regulate the mother's immune system so it won't attack the fetus. So it establishes a privileged, they call it a privileged environment within the fetus or the placenta, so the fetus is not attacked. Mm-hmm. So effectively what we're arguing is what you're seeing there is a normal system. That's what's being changed in cancer. Cancer is taking advantage of that, and so is HIV taking advantage of that.
Okay. The most common types of AIDS-related cancers, Kaposi sarcoma, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, and invasive cervical cancer, what are the key risk factors in those?
So things that would cause inflammation.
Okay.
That would, because all of those are things, all of those, number one, all of those are driven, at least in some aspect, by viruses.
Okay.
So Kaposi sarcoma and lymphoma are both driven by Epstein-Barr virus, which is actually a herpes virus, and by HHV-8, or Kaposi sarcoma herpes virus, it's called KSHV. And then cervical cancer, which is another cancer of the AIDS-related cancer, is driven by human papillomavirus. So the inflammation by itself can drive, set the environment, or inflammation can activate these other viruses, and the dysfunctional immune system can't control them. And so in addition to establishing that virus, now you're in that environment, now you're releasing all these viruses that then can cause cancer.
Why are they called AIDS defining?
So I think it's sort of an artificial title, but basically what it means is usually with these cancers, if they see that cancer and you have HIV, that usually means that you're progressing
to AIDS. Okay.
Not only do you have HIV, but you're progressing to AIDS.
What do you think are the most exciting areas for research in the prevention of AIDS-related cancer?
I thought about this. So I'm really interested in the whole thing of how food, nutrition, and exercise, and weight management, and things like that, what role do they play in management of these diseases? Even things like meditation. And
the spiritual aspect.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. How do they, because this is a disease that is the host interacting with the virus. And we know that meditation does affect you as a host. So you might think that it could play a role. So does food. You know, food does. In fact, there are foods that are inflammatory and there are foods that are anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So what role does that play? Drugs. So again, obviously my interest is in drugs, looking for things that prevent that development of that environment that allows HIV or cancer to be established.
Well, last year, research conducted by the New York Presbyterian Hospital and the Weill Cornell Medical Center, along with cancer specialists in New York, Qatar, and Haiti, suggests that aspirin should be evaluated for its ability to prevent development of cervical cancer in HIV-infected women. According to the report, which preventative aspirin use could be especially helpful in Haiti, where invasive cervical cancer is a common cause of death in HIV-infected women. Can you update us on the impact of this research?
So basically what they're telling you is what we've just talked about. Aspirin is probably one of the best anti-inflammatory drugs.
Right.
It's called a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. It's relatively innocuous, et cetera. So if you want to reduce the chance of getting cervical cancer that's related to HIV, and we just talked about the fact that you want to somehow dampen down that inflammatory effect, aspirin would do it.
Okay. Amazing.
Let's talk about AIDS Prevention Awareness, Rodney. And AID Atlanta sponsors some impressive informational programs focused on HIV prevention. Tell us about them. I know you've been involved.
Well, one thing they do is they really work within the community to really stress early detection of HIV. So that that means really pretty much reaching out to a lot of the gay and lesbian events that are going on in the city, plus reaching out to the churches who will welcome them to their churches to advocate HIV awareness, get tested. And then, of course, AID Atlanta is a great organization. The fact that beyond the testing, they also provide services where if you are infected, they offer counseling. They help you get set up with, if you don't have insurance, to get like on the Ryan White program with ADAP and all of those. And they also offer services if you might have substance abuse issues. So they have all these services available to you if you go. Now it's there, but again, it's up to the individual. It's like, you know, I need to take it upon myself to get tested. If I find out I am HIV positive, what services can they offer me to help me? And again, if they're blessed to have health insurance, they can go to their private doctor and take care of that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Speaking of testing, Walgreens, the nation's largest drugstore chain, and Greater Than AIDS, a coalition of public and private sector partners fighting the domestic AIDS crisis, are joining health departments and local AIDS organizations across the country to provide free HIV testing in support of National HIV Testing Day, which is tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
It's tomorrow, June the 27th. Is Atlanta a site for this event, and how is AIDS Atlanta participating?
Well, you can go to the AID Atlanta office, which is on Peachtree, to get testing. Now, they're also offering testing at Underground as well. I think it's from 11 to 6:30 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But there's a plethora of places you can go to get tested. So if you wanted to get more information, a good site to go to, because a lot of these companies work with, organizations work with the CDC. So you go to cdc.gov/actagainstAIDS. Once you go to that website, you type in your zip code, and it'll list in your zip code where you can get tested for HIV. So the perfect website to go to. And mentioning what you mentioned about the Greater Than AIDS, which is affiliated with the CDC, they specifically target African-American gay and bisexual men. So it's a great program, and that's why a lot of the young people seem to be more engaged, because they actually specifically, like, you don't really see it too much here, but like in New York and D.C. and Chicago, you actually see billboards of Black and Latino young people saying, I have HIV, go get tested. So they say, oh, that's someone I know. That, you know, that could be me. So that might, you know, inspire them, like, maybe I need to get tested too. And at the same time, if they are, it's like, I'm not alone.
So what are some, you've got some good websites. Are there some other websites and numbers that you want to share?
Actually, first, especially for the young people out there, especially young gay and lesbian youth that I deal with, they have a great program that's affiliated with AID Atlanta called the Evolution Project. So for those who kind of, you know, for the young people, you know, they want to deal with young people. So they want to deal with someone near their age. So they can go to the Evolution Project. That's evolutionatl.org. There's also the AIDS Research Consortium of Atlanta, ARCA, which is available. There's also Positive Impact, which is a great organization here in Atlanta. And if you go to, I think there's actually a list on the AJC, which lists a lot of HIV AIDS organizations. But if not, you can go to the Georgia Voice, which is gavoice.com. And they list a plethora of organizations with every county in the metro area and the state where you can go to get HIV assistance, you know, for testing, counseling, help services to get you, you know, if you maybe with the rental insurance, I mean, everything. It's a lot of stuff that they offer, but you just got to go out there and research it and realize that you're not alone. People are there to help you, especially because we kind of take advantage of what we have here in Atlanta, because we're in a big kind of metropolitan city, but think of someone who might be like in Tifton, Georgia. They might be like, I might be all by myself.
Right.
So, you know, there's those services are out there available for them as well. So,
what major points about AIDS and AIDS-related cancer should we remember, both of you?
I'll let you start.
Okay. So I think from my standpoint, from what I've been talking about, is the cooperative interaction between the two diseases. So, I mean, as you said at the beginning, you don't think about HIV and cancer in the same breath.
No.
You don't see how they're related, but they're intimately related.
Very much so.
And this whole issue of inflammation, this plays a role in a lot of things beyond just those diseases. You name the disease, inflammation plays a role in that. And then the other thing I think that's important to take away from this is the comment, the point you made, control your own destiny.
Exactly.
You need to take care of your own health, be proactive with your own health.
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so encouraged by the research that you're doing because, you know, you've probably been doing research for a long time. A lot of people who've passed away from this years ago before all the medication, a lot of them who had advanced stages of HIV, AIDS, had various types of cancers.
Right.
So you kind of like, wow, you know, so now that you're doing all this research, it's just a great thing. So I applaud you for what you're doing. I really honestly do. This is just great.
Thank you.
I really, really do.
I want to thank both of you for joining
Thanks
us today.
Thanks for having me.
Vincent Bond.
Thank you. I appreciate
Rodney
it.
Rodney Love.
Thank you.
You're helping us understand AIDS-related cancer, and I'm really excited about the research work that you're doing.
It's fabulous.
Praying for that patent. That would be great. Thanks for listening to this segment of Your Health Connection. Remember that this program is also available on demand at WCLK's Your Health Connection page at WCLK.com. I'm Barbara Washington, and on behalf of our guests and the Cancer Center at Clark Atlanta University, best wishes for good health.
Get tested.
You've been listening to Your Health Connection. This program is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to www.ccrtd.cau.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to WCLK.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Barbara Washington and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.